Okay, this effort, this series, this workshop, this chabura, whatever you want to call it, is a result of a desire on my part to not have the same Hanukkah I had last year. And Hanukkah last year was beautiful. There was nothing wrong with it. But Hanukkah is a very difficult Yom Tov, I think, to experience, because we have our weekly schedules. There's no Isser Malacha. There's no prohibition to go to work, or to be in a car, or to be in a car, or to go to school, or to run our regular schedules. And so we end up interrupting our regular schedules long enough to light the menorah. We hope that our family members are in a good mood at the time. We hope we're in a good mood at the time. We hope that they feel like singing Haneros Halalu, if they know how to sing at all. And then we have, after Hanukkah left, maybe we have some form of a Hanukkah party. Maybe. Maybe we have it with some people who have a different idea of what Hanukkah should be than we might have deep in our the recesses of our minds. And then the next morning we have Hallel during Shacharis, if we go to Minyan. So we usually at a Minyan that is geared towards someone who has to move on to carpool and work or other schedules. So Hallel is not necessarily the most invigorating and inspiring experience of the day. It could be. Shabbos, sometimes it is more because we have more time. But so other than those focused moments where we're performing the mitzvahs ma'asios, the practical mitzvahs of Hanukkah, it's very difficult to have a Yom Tov. Very difficult to feel like it's really making a difference. And Hanukkah is really so much of a powerful Yom Tov that it's really almost tragic that we end up experiencing it on, in a minimalist way. And not only that, how many people really know what they're thinking about or what they're dealing with when they light the menorah? And what are we supposed to be thanking HaKadosh Baruch Hu for? Do we really feel that the nace that happened back then that restored the light of the menorah to the Beis HaMikdash and restored Jewish control over the Beis HaMikdash, do we feel the impact of that thing? Do we feel like it makes a difference to us? That's what are we saying when we're saying Al-Anisim, when we include that in benching and in Shemona Esrei. So what I want to do is really attempt to create a period of time that we're actually working on something, that we're actually addressing different issues, and that we're actually internalizing certain things. So just going through, for those of you who came in, let's get these out there. So. Put these out there for those who come. So let's just go through. I have a couple of goals here. Did you get one of these? So first of all, a goal is to help each person experience Hanukkah in a new and meaningful and lasting way. So new means that something that we haven't discovered before. Meaningful means that it actually means something to us. That it's not just like a Dvar Torah, which is one of the worst things that ever happened to the Torah, is the concept of a Dvar Torah, in which you say something which has no personal meaning. And a lasting way, which means that we'll take it away with us after Hanukkah is over. So it won't just be that we had a feeling while it was Hanukkah, but that we'll actually take something away from Hanukkah that will actually leave us different than we were before. So that our connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu is different as a result of the Yom Tov. And ultimately, there is no such thing as a date on a Jewish calendar that is not designed to alter our relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So the whole idea is to have a different experience of HaKadosh Baruch Hu than we have when we enter the Yom Tov. That's the way it is all the time. The second goal is to provide guidelines, suggestions, and exercises that will provide real access to the Kedusha, to the holiness, and the meaning and the impact of Hanukkah. So the idea is that we'll actually try to make some suggestions that undertaking those suggestions will give a person access to connecting to Yom Tov. There's different small projects that we could be working on personally in our lives during this period of time. The third goal is to interpret the practices of Hanukkah in such a way that we know what we're trying to accomplish. So that when we light the menorah, what are we trying to do? When we say Al Anisim, what are we trying to do? What's supposed to happen? When we say Hallel, what's supposed to happen? Okay, so I just listed here what I think we're going to be able to cover. I really have no idea how we're going to pace how we're going to pace this and how this will go in these relatively short conversations. But we're going to be, if you can make it to all of them, it's great. I don't want anybody to feel that they have to, and I don't want you to feel like if you don't make it to any of that, to any of them, that you're therefore the ones that you did make it to somehow are diminished. So I'm going to design them. I have designed them with the idea that each one is self-contained, but they all have this thesis that we're obviously talking about, this whole context of trying to grow from Hanukkah itself. So we're going to cover these topics over here. The reason we're meeting on Wednesday night 48 hours before Hanukkah is because of the concept of preparation for Hanukkah, the concept of preparation for any Yom Tov, that we don't want to come into a Yom Tov and then deal with the Yom Tov when we get there. We want to actually be ready so that when we get to the Yom Tov, we actually have something of ourselves to offer the Yom Tov, and we can actually bring ourselves into the Yom Tov much more meaningfully. I want to talk about Erev Chanukah, because Erev Chanukah is a practical and conceptual problem, especially this year. It's a nightmare. Friday, one of the shortest Fridays of the year. We have to get the menorah done, got to get our families ready, our kids ready, whatever it is. We have to get ourselves ready. We have Erev Shabbos to deal with, which is always tough, and now it's Erev Chanukah as well. We have a menorah to light before we light the Shabbos lich. And I want to talk about Erev Chanukah as a day of significance itself, because it really is. And sometimes we don't realize that. Talk about Shabbos and Chanukah. Shabbos is obviously a very significant dimension of Chanukah. You can't go through a Chanukah without a Shabbos. That's number one. But number two is, as we know, the Yevanim, the Greeks, wanted to eradicate Shabbos observance as one of their major targets. And therefore, we're going to be able to appreciate the essence of Chanukah from appreciating what it was about Shabbos that so disturbed the Yevanim. We're going to talk about the whole concept of Chanukah. What's Chanukah? What are we trying to do? What's happening over here? What's the significance of it? And we're going to talk about how to perform Halal and Hodah, which means that Halal and Hodah is much more than just reciting a few paragraphs of Tehillim to melody. That would be Halal. That's the physical act of Halal. You recite certain paragraphs that are lifted from Tehillim that we call Halal, and that's it. But obviously, when the sages say Kav b'Halal v'Hodah, that the days of Chanukah were established not lehalel ulahodos, to say halel and to give thanks, but behalel ubahoda, that they were established through halel and through hoda. So that would indicate that the way to make Chanukah, the way to have the Yom Tov come into being, is through halel and hoda, which means it's more like it's a whole attitude, it's a whole state of being, it's a whole sugang, it's a whole approach. It's not just something that we do for a few minutes each day, and it's not just the Alan Isim. So how do we do that? How do we perform Halal Hodah? I'm going to talk about that, and I want to talk about the Jewish home in Hanukkah, because one of the concepts that emerges from, especially in Hasidic literature, is the idea of the menorah al Pesach Beso. Sam Sofer actually develops this idea, that the menorah is placed on the opening to one's house, and from there develops an entire discussion about the significance, the impact of Chanukah on one's bias, right? Chanukah ner ishu veso, the whole idea, the relationship of Chanukah to the home, to the Jewish home. And surprisingly, I want to introduce a critical dimension of Chanukah, which is bein adam lechavero, interpersonal relationships, and how that would relate to Chanukah itself. So we're going to talk about these things, and we're going to try to address them in very practical ways. So let's turn our attention to preparation. Okay, so we now are anticipating Chanukah in 48 hours. So first of all, why do you think that Chanukah particularly would be a Yom Tov where Hachana, where preparation for the Yom Tov would be significant? Anybody have a guess, a wild guess, why Chanukah would be a Hachana kind of a thing to do? Yes, sir.
Well, after the preparation for the olive oil had to be so pure and
very good. Levels. Very good. Okay. Didn't even think of that. Okay. Anything else? The whole name of the Yom Tov, right, exactly. Chanukah has in it really the concept of Hachana. Chanukah, Chinuch itself, which we would translate loosely as education, Chinuch is really preparation, dedicating dedication to a certain thing. And dedication, by definition, means focusing our attention, our attitude on that. And so, it's particularly with Hanukkah, it makes sense that there would be hachana, that there would be preparation for Hanukkah itself. The concept of hachana is not unique to Hanukkah. This concept applies. We have, for example, Shol and Vidarshan Behilchas Achag, Kanam Achag Shloshim Yom. The idea that 30 days before Yom Tov we inquire about the halachas of the Yom Tov. There's no question that, A, it's a practical thing. A person has to know how to observe the Yom Tov. But it would also almost certainly be true that by involving oneself and immersing oneself in the halachas of a particular Yom Tov, that a person thereby is spiritually prepared for the Yom Tov. You're holding in the Yom Tov. You're holding in the sugya of the Yom Tov. You're already thinking about it. Matter of fact, in preparing for this whole thing and thinking about it for the last several days, so last night at Ma'ariv, I started to say Al HaNisim. So, and that whole Shiloh of Hefzik and so on, so I got pretty deep into it before I realized it wasn't relevant. Anyway, so Hachana is really a very important dimension of the Yom Tov. And if you think about it, if there's anything important to accomplish at any particular time, even in the physical universe, to the absurdity of waiting till the moment that we get there to do it, you're supposed to swim. Right, there's a swimming exercise. So a person says, I'll deal with swimming when I get in the pool. Right? So that doesn't work that way. You have to know how to swim before you swim. And that's just in a physical undertaking. And certainly in Ruchnius, it makes sense that a person should prepare. Hanukkah is also, let's say that Hanukkah is a hidden Yom Tov. Hanukkah suffers the misfortune and has the asset and the benefit of being a strength, of being a Yom Tov, which is not easily available. It's not out there. It's really, and we know this in different ways, we can say that Hanukkah is the Or HaGanuz, is the hidden light. Hanukkah, as a matter of fact, in Mamari Chazal and in later Bali Machshava, Hanukkah represents the light of the Torah that is not easily available to us, or the light of HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself, Kavayachal, that was hidden away right after Maaseh Bereishis. So Hanukkah is a Yom Tov which carries, it's kind of a Yom Tov in disguise. And it's very easy to trivialize Hanukkah, not easy to access Hanukkah. So certainly we're not going to be able to come into Hanukkah, light the menorah, as I say, and daven and say Al HaNisim and offer Hallel and have access to what's available in Hanukkah without thinking about it beforehand and without planning it, without creating some kind of a context so that when Hanukkah comes, we ourselves are the proper vessels. To put it another way, we are, if Hanukkah is going to bring us any level of Kedusha, so who are the vessels? Who are the clay kodesh? Who are the clay shoreis? Who are the vessels that are going to be the medium through which Hanukkah will be expressed? It's us. So we want to clean out the clay shoreis. We want to get the clay shoreis ready before Yom Tov. We actually want to be different people when Hanukkah begins, so that whatever is supposed to happen at Hanukkah can happen through kelim, through vessels which have already been prepared. So this hidden light, which we want to really unlock, this hidden light. So a couple of things that I think just to motivate you and to stimulate your interest. I saw a source that brings down the Zohar HaKadosh that says that Adam and Chava were given 36 hours of the Or HaGanuz, the hidden light that HaKadosh Baruch Hu puts away forever. 36 hours they were given this Or HaGanuz before it was put away. So our observance of the 36 lights of the menorah, if we follow the Mahajan and Mahajan, the 36 lights in the box of candles that comes from Tells, so those 36 candles represent our response, so to speak, to the gift that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave a human being, a humanity itself, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu allowed that Or HaGanuz to glow, and so on and so forth. So what we're trying to do is really unlock the Or HaGanuz and discover the Or HaGanuz, and to be sources ourselves of this hidden light. So again, there's every reason in the world for a Jew to want to be prepared for this Yom Tov. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to Adam HaRishon, Ayeka, where are you? Right, so what is it, just on the surface, what is HaKadosh Baruch Hu saying to Adam HaRishon? Where have you gone? Like, what has happened to you? How have you fallen? How have you allowed yourself to be so much less than what Adam is supposed to be. Ayeka, that's the Kodesh Baruch Hu's question. So the gematria of Ayeka is 36, right? So Kodesh Baruch Hu is actually asking Adam HaRishon, where is your light? Where's the 36, so to speak? Where's the reflection of the light of HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself that Adam is supposed to be, that a human being is supposed to be a reflection of HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself? So from that we even get a little bit more of a sense of what's possible on Hanukkah. What's possible on Hanukkah is that a human being can actually discover his full potential. That as we discover and as we try to uncover this Or HaGanuz, this hidden light that Hanukkah represents, we're actually discovering the glow that we're supposed to have in ourselves. And the effort on Hanukkah is really an effort of discovering our own potential. If you think about it, it's an amazing thing. Just practically, we say Al HaNisim. So Chazal wrote Al HaNisim. So if you look at Al HaNisim, they list the miracle of Rabban Biyabiyatim, Tvayim Biyatarim, Misham Biyatadikim, all the unlikely results of this undertaking of this battle. And then it says, Vachachach bo banehu zeveisecha, finasechalecha, and it goes through the whole thing. And the Hidliku Neiros Vachatzos Kachecha. You wait for the climactic thing when they lit the menorah and they didn't have enough light and it went for more than one day and it went for 8 days. It's not there. So in the Al HaNisim, the miracle of the menorah is not there, right? So a way to understand that is that the miracle of the menorah is nothing other than a signal for a much greater thing, which is that the Rabban Biyabiyatim, who would think that Rabban can be delivered Biyabiyatim? Who would think that Rishon could be delivered Biyatzadikim? Who would think that Tumah would succumb to Tahara? The point is that the light of the menorah is significant, the miracle of the menorah is significant in what it telegraphs. The menorah itself, and that nace itself, is not the essence of Hanukkah. The essence of Hanukkah is the whole idea that we're able to reconnect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and we're able to rediscover that light, and so on and so forth. So again, I'm just pointing out that there's tremendous potential available. The whole Yom Tov of Hanukkah is about realizing that our potential is much greater than what we really think. Matter of fact, one of the ways of understanding the Yetzer Hara, particularly in the context of Hanukkah, very useful, I think, is that the Yetzer Hara tries to minimize. The Yetzer Hara, let's put it another way. I don't like talking about the Yetzer Hara as another being. The Yetzer Hara is not another being. The Yetzer Hara is us. The Yetzer Hara is part of our personality. So it's not some other invasive personality that somehow took over our bodies. One of the ways that we think about ourselves in a destructive way that undoes what was pretending, right? That's what the Yetzer Hara is. So one of the ways that we do that is we think of ourselves as small. We think of ourselves as not that capable. Or we think of ourselves as having certain limits. And we know what those limits are. We all know. We're clear what the limitations are. We can't exceed a certain potential. The whole point of Hanukkah is that those limits are not true. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu has invested us with a neshama which is designed to reflect this light of HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself. And that's the whole miracle of Hanukkah, is that we didn't stop where we think we could stop. That's why they lit the menorah, even though it made no sense, because there's a limit. There's only enough oil for one. There was a limit, and that menorah had no limit, and that's to indicate that the Or HaGanuz, the Or that's gunners in each of us, the light that's hidden in each of us, also is unlimited. And it's only our own attitude to ourselves that would ever allow ourselves to be so limited. So, where do we find this light? So we're going to find this light, number one, in releasing Halav HaHodah, in expressing ourselves through Halav HaHodah. We're going to find it in lighting the menorah itself. We're going to find it in our relationship to Torah, to Limud HaTorah. How do we relate to the Torah? What do we think about the Torah? What do we allow ourselves to be aware of in Limud HaTorah? And the awareness of Hashem's Chachma. And we're going to find that light also in the holy space that we call our homes. And those are the places that we'll find it. So that's what we're going to be talking about. So, The in terms of Hachana, what we're trying to do in between now and Hanukkah is actually look for something. I would say that we're now involved in the same quest that the Chashmonaim were involved in before the Nes happened, Eruv Hanukkah and Hanukkah itself. Meaning that before the Nes happened, they lomatsu. They couldn't find the proper shemen. They couldn't find oil that could light the menorah, which means that they were involved in a quest to find the source of the light. Where would they find the light? Where will it be found? How can it be found? Is there really any purity? Is there any source of holy light? And then they find a pach shemen. They find one vial of oil, one limited vial of oil that's closed by Chasama Shel Kohen Gadol. So what we're involved in during this period of time before Hanukkah is we're actually looking. We're saying we're looking forward to Hanukkah. There's a pasuk. Write it down. Ashrei ish shomea li lishkod al dalsosai yom yom. Pasuk in Tehillim. Praise be the person who anticipates and yearns for my doors. That's the Hanukkah, which is a Pesach Beso, yom yom, each day. The point is that Hanukkah is a day that requires anticipation and looking. Hanukkah is a result of looking for something. Right? They couldn't find the oil. They didn't have, and then they looked for it, and then they found it. You see, that's even in the Lashon of the Gemara and the Lashon of Chazal. There's a seeking. In earlier generations, particularly in Hasidus, the leaders of Hasidus used to spend a tremendous amount of time, particularly after Sukkot, looking forward to Hanukkah. It's brought down that the sons of Rav Matzoi Simchas Torah would immediately open up his sources for Hanukkah and start delving into Hanukkah. And he would say to his people around him that he's so excited because Hanukkah is coming. So this is like, you know, weeks in advance. So Baruch Shekivanti, because this year, when I was putting away our Sukkot box in the attic, so we have one box that's marked Sukkot and another box is marked Hanukkah. And I was remarking to my wife about how fast Sukkot went, and I'm already putting Sukkot back. I said, why don't I just take the Hanukkah box out now, and then I'll put it back like tomorrow, you know, the same thing. So I was already looking forward to Hanukkah, ready from Sukkot. So the point is, though, that Hanukkah requires anticipation as well. And to the degree that we anticipate and look for what is available on Hanukkah, we also will have greater access to Hanukkah. Also, there's a very interesting language in Rashi in the Gemara in Shabbos. When the Gemara says, the Gemara introduces the concept of the performance of the mitzvah of the menorah as mahadrin, right? The Gemara says that the basic mitzvah is one candle for a household. Then the Gemara says, Vaha mahadrin, and those are mahadrin. So then they light one candle for each night, you know, and then in Sunday, Vaha mahadrin, mina mahadrin. So Rashi says these words, on the word Vaha mahadrin, Rashi says, Achar hamitzvos la'asosan yafa. Literally translated, Hamahadrin, after the mitzvahs to do them well. So there's only one way that Rashi can be translated, as far as I know. I think people make a mistake. Rashi is clearly saying that the word Mahadrin does not mean beautify. They do not beautify the mitzvahs. That would be Mahadrin es hamitzvahs. Hamahadrin achar hamitzvahs means they go after, they seek after, they run after, like Lashon. The Gemara, the language of the Gemara is hajibi, like return, to go back, seek, right? So the point is that mahajin, Rashi's telling us that the deluxe version of the mitzvah is an expression of hidur. So again, there's this anticipation for Hanukkah, which I think can make a tremendous difference. So I want to go through. A couple of suggestions for Erev Hanukkah, but before we do that, I just want to mention, Erev Hanukkah itself is very interesting. The Nevuah of Haggai, which you will find in Trei Asar, in case you're looking for it, you can see the whole Nevuah of Haggai in four easy chapters. So Nevuah of Haggai is given in three dates. Haggai HaNavi has a Nevuah in Rosh Chodesh Elul, And on Hoshana Rabbah, he doesn't call it Hoshana Rabbah, but it's clear that that's what the day is. And the third Nevuah, which has to do with Shikchas HaTorah, with forgetting the Torah, which is a major theme of Hanukkah, the third Nevuah comes out on the 24th day of Kislev, according to Haggai Navi. So the 24th day of Kislev, Erev Hanukkah, is also a special day. I suspect that what's special about it is that it's Erev. And we have a concept that the Yom Tov, that what's available in the Yom Tov is actually given by HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the preparatory period beforehand. We have the pasuk that we're all familiar with because of Shlomo Karbach, Maher Ehov Kivah Moed. Love us quickly, Kivah Moed, because the Moed is coming, right? So the idea is that as the Moed is coming, in the last hours before the Yom Tov comes, is tremendous access to the treasures of the Yom Tov. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is like Maher Ahov. He fills himself with love. So a mashal, like when you're preparing for a wedding or simcha, a bar mitzvah, so you have a budget, right? So in the weeks and months before, you say, okay, we're going to spend a certain amount on the invitations and a certain amount on the caterer and a certain amount on the flowers and so on and so forth. Then, as the day comes, things begin to unravel a little bit. And before you know it, you're spending wildly because you have to get it done. And whatever it takes, you get it done. So that's how HaKadosh Baruch Hu is with Yom Tov itself. So he wants us to prepare. But then, in the hours right before Yom Tov, there's a tremendous amount of availability. So let's not discount between now and Hanukkah what is available, so to speak, in terms of the energy that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is making available to us if we are just anticipating and thinking about Hanukkah and taking on certain things, which I would suggest to you, and you can make up your own suggestions. I just really want to get you started on thinking about it. So let me pass out this list of suggestions. I purposely held it back. I first had it printed on the back side of the outline, but you'll see that these suggestions can be seen as extremely trivial. What time is it?
9:43.
So we got a couple minutes, and that's all we need. So, either exercises and suggestions for Hanukkah preparation. Okay, number one, and this is particularly useful this year with as I mentioned, Shabbos or Hanukkah. Get your menorah out early. Right? Like, go home tonight. Get your menorah out. Or tomorrow. Don't wait till the last minute. Fill it with oil, get your candles, your wicks ready, and also, by the way, be ready for Matzah Shabbos before Shabbos starts, because you're going to come home from Shul, and it's going to be time to light the second candle, and you're not going to have, the oil won't be where, whatever. So get it all ready beforehand. But this is part of the Hachana. It's simply dealing with the performance of the mitzvah of Hanukkah will already change things. It will also change your house. Your space that you live in will be different if you have a menorah standing there. And somehow human nature is, okay, Hanukkah's coming Friday, so Friday at 12 or 2 or 3 o'clock, I'll put it out. Make sure to deal with the Erev Hanukkah schedule. Speak it out with your family, what's going to happen because of the whole schedule. I don't have to tell you how to figure that out. You might even want to think of some kind of incentives for the younger people to make sure that they can cooperate. I would suggest that it would be a good idea to spend 10 minutes tomorrow and Erev Shabbos on the sugya Maseches Shabbos about Hanukkah. Just delving into Hanukkah, going through the words. If it doesn't work for you in the original, take a translation. Just go through the Gemara in Tractate Shabbos 21b and begin to be involved in the thinking about Hanukkah. Prepare something for the table Friday night, which will be Shabbos Hanukkah. And what I would suggest is that you start thinking now about the beauty of the idea of sitting down with a sefer right after you light the menorah. This is brought down from the Gruah, by the way. The Gruah says that that the time that the menorah is lit is a time to study Torah. And if you could build that in, just 1 minute of studying Torah would be quite a damn marvel already. Okay, the rest you can see, and here there's a quote from Chaim Vital, which I think will be very useful. All right, next session will be Shabbos afternoon. Thank you.